Once again, thank you for being here. I know today has not been the best day weather-wise, amen, but at least it's calmed down a little bit here this evening so that we could come and be together safely. Thank God for that, and do trust God for His goodness here to help us minister this evening. Matthew chapter 5, if you would. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture and going to, Lord willing, preach from these verses with God's help, and do need His help here this evening, amen. And had this verse was laid on my heart this week. Just been doing some praying, and this came upon my mind, and I began praying. Sometimes something comes to your mind, and sometimes you know how this is. Sometimes it's just for your own devotional life. So you pray about it, you read about it, do a little studying for your personal devotional life. You think, you know, it ministers to you, but as a minister, as a pastor, sometimes God will share something, and it'll touch your life. But also, it's meant also to be shared with the church. I don't claim to share anything brand new with you tonight, but Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, one of the Beatitudes. Just want to talk about it here this evening. Matthew 5 and 8. Matthew 5 and 8, when you're there, give me a good amen. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Let's read it together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask You here this evening that You'd help us, God, to be pure in heart. God, we need Your help this evening. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, God. I know You've laid this upon my heart, God, to share with the church tonight, God. I believe as we are here gathered together, God, to break the bread of life, what a beautiful opportunity it is, God, to be challenged by Your Word. I would tonight that each one of us would search our own hearts. God, we want to see You, Lord. We want to be aware of Your presence. But God, that takes purity of heart. And let that be here this evening in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in introduction here tonight because the Beatitudes really don't need an introduction. I would focus real quickly on that word blessed, as many of you already know this. But when it comes to the Beatitudes, when the Lord says blessed, and we know there's several times He mentions that there through these verses, what that word blessed means is happy. Some translations say blissful, and some even say to be enlarged. It means to be blessed, means to be happy. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses this word to refer more than just superficial happiness. What He is talking about here in this context about being blessed refers to a spiritual state of well-being and prosperity. I think we all agree that it is a beautiful thing when the Lord causes our soul to prosper. Amen. Nothing like having the prosperity of our souls. There's nothing like having spiritual well-being, because I am a firm believer that even if you are sick in body, even though you maybe go through things in life, if you have a healthy spirit, if you have a well soul, that even it sustains you in your infirmities. It tells us that there in the book of Proverbs. So tonight, as we're looking at this idea of blessed, I guess I would title this The Power of a Pure Heart, and want you to know that maintaining a pure heart before the Lord is of utmost importance in your life. It is something all of us must strive for, and Lord willing, at the end of this message, I hope to give you some practical advice of how this can be applied to your everyday life. But we want to talk about this happiness, this blessedness, this blissfulness that is in our souls when we are serving God as we should. So we understand here tonight, if I was to go through the Beatitudes, we would talk about blessed are the poor, those that mourn, the meek, the hungry, those who are hungry for righteousness, the merciful, the pure, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. We look at that and we usually don't try to tie maybe blessedness to mourning, do we? We don't want to think about that. There's a person here that's mourning. thing, so he's blessed. Nor do we think about the poor being blessed or the hungry being blessed. But when we look at this, we always have to come to the other end of each one of these verses and understand that there is a blessedness at the end of each one of these verses. For instance, he talks about those that are going to have to receive the kingdom of heaven, those that are going to receive comfort, those who will inherit the earth, those who will be filled, those who will obtain mercy, those who will see God, those who will be called the sons of God, those who inherit the kingdom of heaven. We understand that that is opposite of what the world views as we're looking at mourning and being poor and hungry. And I'm not going to walk through all the Beatitudes here this evening. It takes a lot of time. We've taught about that. I know Brother Shane's done some teaching about that. But it's really encouraging when you get the context of these verses. But I want to focus on this one there in verse 8 when it talks about blessed are the pure in heart. First thing I want to do here this evening is very basic. I want to talk to you about the meaning of the heart in the Bible. The meaning of the heart in the Bible. I want you to get this and understand what it means, especially in Jewish literature, what it would mean when it says what it means about being pure in heart. Interesting here, the Greek word translated for heart in Matthew 5 and 8 is cardia, which is the same word that we use for cardio. Basically, it is that same word we talk about our actual heart. The Bible always refers to the heart as the internal part of man, the seat of a man's personality, his being, his essence about him. Often when it says, and we do this even in our culture, we say, I love so-and-so with my whole entire heart. We know it's more than just the actual beating organ in your body. We know it's more than that. It's talking about your very being. It's talking about the internal part of your personality. That's why Proverbs 23 and 7 says something like this. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We can think of the word heart as referring to the will and the emotions because they are influenced by the intellect. It's an intimate thing when we talk about the heart or when the Bible talks about the heart in the scriptures. When our Lord spoke of having a pure heart, he was talking about a pure mind as well. He's talking about pure emotions. He's talking about pure personality, pure intentions, pure motives. It's talking about everything about you because that's what it's talking about in the heart. It is critical that we understand that as we are teaching this here this evening. What I want you to understand as well is during the Beatitudes, this is actually an actual defense or more like an attack against the Pharisees who would have been present. They always bragged about being first and they bragged about being the most holiest and they bragged about being the best. But yet, many of them did not realize the condition of their soul and much less even their condition as just being a human. Brothers and sisters, we are human beings here tonight. And even if you are born again, thank the Lord for that. Amen. And I thank God there's nothing like being born again and being saved. But really, don't ever get puffed up in who you are or what you think you are. Apart from the Lord, we are absolutely nothing. This was a direct shot at the Pharisees who were legalists, who told the people all they needed to do. That would basically, they wanted you to conform to external activities. They thought maybe that the Pharisees were big on that, external religion. And you'll find there in Matthew chapter 19, as Jesus is rebuking them, he calls them whitewashed sepulchers, saying, look, you look good on the outside, but inside you are filled with dead man's bones. So understand all of that. This is what Jesus is trying to deal with. A few things I would say about this. I've got some verses that I just taken a little bit of time to look up there. And if you want to write them down, you can. I'm not going to turn to every one of these verses. We just don't have the time to do that here this afternoon. But let me give you some verses about the human heart. Proverbs 4 and 23 gives us some instruction. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Notice that. Tells us we need to keep our hearts. Amen. Protect our hearts. Protect what influences who you are as a believer. Our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, all of these things flow out of our heart. That's why it says, but keep it with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's what we're talking about. Put it this way. In America, we don't have a political problem so much. It's not so much a race problem or a lust problem. All those things are real. But in everything, when it comes down to it, there's a a heart problem. It's what it comes down to. And when we're trying to preach about the kingdom of God, we've got to understand what is God trying to do in this world. He's doing more than just trying to conquer Virginia or North Carolina or Russia or China or Africa. He wants to conquer the human heart. That's what he's after, because the human heart is the very reason there's so many bad things that go on in the world that is around us. Ephesians 6:6 says this: do the will of God from the heart. Amen. If you're not doing the will of God from the heart, it becomes a task. It becomes wearisome. It becomes burdensome. We have to understand that. Jeremiah 17:9. Many of you could quote many of these verses. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. That's why we're going to be careful in this society that's always telling us to follow our hearts. I often say, don't follow your heart. Follow the Word. Follow the Spirit. Your heart will get you in trouble. Amen. Because out of it is all sorrowful, is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't even have the ability, apart from the help of the Holy Ghost and apart from the Word of God, we do not have the ability to discern our own hearts. And just when you think you got yourself all figured out, right? If you come out from underneath the umbrella of God's goodness and faithfulness, if you come out from underneath the wings of God's mercy and love, and you quit applying this Word to your life, and you quit listening to the Spirit of God, you'll find yourself in confusion. Your heart will pull you this way, and it will pull you that way. That's why the Bible warns us time and time again to ask God to search our hearts, because our hearts can be misleading in this world. Amen. But we know that the Spirit of God, we know that God's Word is right. He can allow us to have a pure motive in our hearts. Genesis 6:5 says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Amen. Before God even judged this world, we see that he realized that the condition of man's heart was wicked continually. Amen. Constantly wickedness in the human heart. We see that in Jeremiah. We see that in the book of Genesis. But even there in Matthew chapter 15 in the New Testament, it says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man. But to each with one wash hands defileth not a man. What Jesus was saying there, he was talking to the Pharisees who made such a big deal out of ceremonial washing. But God was saying, look, the problem is, it's not just this external religion. The problem is out of the heart comes these things. Brothers and sisters, that's why we need a pure heart, because we don't want anything coming out of us that is not right. God help us to have of a pure heart. James 4:8 talks about draw near to God. And what will he do? Isn't that a good verse in the Bible? Amen. Draw near to God, and we know he'll draw nigh to us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. We see there, God tells us to purify our hearts, to search our hearts, to do what we need to do. Amen. To come away from those things that could hinder us. We see there in Psalms 51:10, David said there in that repenting prayer, create in me, O Lord, a new heart, or a clean heart, O God. He was asking God to come in, to touch that heart, to cleanse him. Amen. And there's still nothing wrong in your life for taking time to get down and pray and say, God, make a new heart within me, Lord. Search my heart. I cannot know it without your help. I need your help, Holy Ghost. Create in me a clean heart. Psalm 73:1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Brother Derek, why are you sharing all these verses with us this evening? Because what I want you to understand is this. God is concerned about the inside of a person. You can go to church every day of the week, carry a Bible around, and recite verses. But if your heart isn't clean, you haven't met God's standard. It doesn't matter how religious I am or how religious you are. If we don't have a clean heart and a pure heart, things just will not end up like they should. And just like we taught in Sunday school this morning, ye must be born again. You must have a clean heart and a new heart if you're going to walk as you should in this fallen world. I've learned a few things over the years, and I'm still learning. Amen. I believe in holiness, and I hope you know that. Amen. I believe in it. I have plenty of personal conversations, want to promote it more in the lives of people. But I tell you right now, when people come to our churches, what is the first thing we're looking for? We're looking for them to surrender that heart to God. Doesn't matter if I can get them to reform the way that they dress. Doesn't matter if I can get them to reform maybe the places they go. If they don't do it out of a pure heart, then love for God, it will not last. You've seen it, I've seen it, and I know it's difficult for us to see. We can't always see through everything all the time, but there's been a few times in life I've been surprised. Seen somebody make a few changes because maybe they heard the church believe this or believe that. But when the first trial came or the first situation came, you don't see them standing their ground. You don't see faithfulness there. Why is that? Because their heart has not been pure. I would say to you here this evening, if we can get men and women to get a cleansed heart, get born again and have a pure heart, the things they do, the places they go, the way they're dressed, that is the key. They need to have a pure heart. Honestly, I, and I'm speaking, I know, as a pastor, but I believe I speak for every believer that is here. The reason I don't want to go do bad things is because of my heart. And I know, I'm not saying that humanity is beyond temptation. We know it's possible for us to be tempted. But there's something when you are daily maintaining a purity in your life. When we're staying in the Word, when we're praying, and I'm speaking personally here as well, as soon as you begin to slack off or not read this as you should or apply this as you should or pray as you should, it doesn't take long before the enticements of the world will try to set into your mind. And that's why the Bible tells us to continually to stay in His Word and to stay in prayer and to come to church and to stimulate one another to good works. There's been times in my life, I'm sure it's even happened here, where there's been something you said or through a testimony or through a song or maybe through a word that's encouraged me to keep my heart pure. And I hope I do the same for you. Why is that? That's what we need, our pure hearts. Pure hearts. So there's a few illustrations we can look at in the Bible about this. We could talk about King Saul. We know that he was tall, and we know as you study the wording there, he was most likely tall and handsome. And that's according to some of the original language there. Stood head and shoulders above everybody. There was something unique about him. But we see there that 1 Samuel 10:9, the Bible says, we know that when God moved upon Saul, that God gave him another heart in 1 Samuel 10:9. What does that mean? Is why did God give him a new heart? And this means a lot more to us in the New Testament because it's bigger than just Saul or David. But it's every believer. What does that mean? He changed him from the inside out. Saul eventually started disobeying God. So I want you to understand this. It is possible to have that clean heart or to have another heart. But once he began disobeying God and took upon himself those things you find in 1 Samuel 13, it says, therefore the prophet Samuel told Saul, thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him out a man after his own heart. What is he saying there? That he wants men and women to have a heart after his, a pure heart, and God help us to do that. And my mind's working a little better now of where exactly why I'm preaching this and where it happened. It was happening right back here. I was walking these aisles praying. And I remember asking God, I said, God, don't let my heart deceive me. I don't want to do anything from an impure motive. I don't want to do that. Do you know it's possible even for us ministers at times to be blind to some things in our own lives? And that's why we stay in the Word. That's why we need to pray. And it's the same for you as it is I. You know this by now, but I'm not a superman. Nothing special. We're believers working in this together. Even though I may be called into ministry and pastoral ministry, but yet I am like you, like Elijah. I'm a man of like passions. Amen. We have to search our hearts. We have to pray. We have to ask God to help us not be deceived in this world, in our motives, in our intentions. We need to have a pure hearts. 1 Samuel 16:7, when it refers to when Samuel was looking for David there, about to anoint David, he says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what? On the heart. He looks on the heart, brothers and sisters. That is what God is looking at. So let me ask you this here this evening, as I try to paint this picture for you. Is it possible sometimes that somebody will get freshly saved and really get born again and God purify their heart, and yet they could have a more pure heart at that moment than somebody else that's been in church for a while that had grown cold? Now, it's hard for us to see that, ain't it? Why? Because we're humans. And I've said this before. I'm glad God don't let me see every heart. It'd be overwhelming. I thought about that before. I said, God, you're so much wiser than we are. Wouldn't it be a mess if God says, look, I'll give each church a pastor and I'll let him have some divine ability to look inside of every single heart. I might misjudge you. I might misdo something there. And man, wouldn't that be, aren't you glad that I can't see in your heart? And I'll say, I'm glad you can't see in mine. But I'm 100% fine with God looking in my heart. Because I know He has ultimate justice and ultimate mercy and ultimate grace and just enough chastisement and wrath to get my attention when He needs to. I'm glad that God is the God of the human heart. As a matter of fact, we'll see why we call David a man after God's own heart. Let's read, I'll read some other verses to you. Notice what the psalmist said, and let's apply these to our lives. I praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Amen. I love what Sister Neff said this morning. There's times you just don't feel like you can praise Him enough. I believe that's often what we call Pentecostal expression. You just don't know how else to say it, but maybe a good old hallelujah or whoa. And you feel it in your heart. Why is that? Because you're so overwhelmed. And the psalmist David is saying, Lord, I praise You not with part of my heart and the other part of my heart being somewhere else. But he said, Lord, my whole heart, my whole being, I will praise You. What kind of service would we have if every service we came in here and praised Him with our whole entire heart? You think it'd make a difference in this fallen world? I believe it would, and God help us to do so. Psalms 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalms 26 and 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Test my heart and my mind. Notice there, he's asking God to examine him. He's asking God to test him. And again, that's an important thing for you to do, brothers and sisters. In your personal prayer time, ask God to test you, to examine you, to try you, to see what is in your heart. Brothers and sisters, there may be trials that you have to go through in life at times because there's something in your heart you didn't know about. But in that trial, God will show you something about yourself. You ever done that before? I went through something over the summer, personal. And I remember in that, God began to show me some things about myself. And I said, Lord, you ever heard blind spots? Okay, I'm going to tell them myself here. I don't know if I've already told myself or not, but yeah, I backed into a mailbox a few weeks ago with a backup camera. Isn't that something? That even when they try to eliminate blind spots, you still end up having a blind spot. And even though I didn't have a blind spot, but just being a human, humans, we have blind spots. Amen? You know how it is. You thought you're going to merge over to another lane, all of a sudden, honk! Where'd they come from? What is that? That's your lack of ability to see something. There's times in life, brothers and sisters, be it a prejudice or be it a slight maybe sense of not being where you should at that moment, but you can have a blind spot in life. You didn't see it. Maybe it was something here or something there. Brothers and sisters, that's why it's important that we ask God to give us what we need in our hearts and our mind and our times of devotion, because you may have a blind spot and not know it. Thank God that He can reveal those things to us. Psalms 27 and 8, when Thou saidest, seek yet ye my face. My heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. God, let that be every time we pray. Let it be every time we pray. Psalms 57:7, my heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed. This sums up where David's heart was. It was locked in on God. That's the kind of worship that God wants. He wants you to come on Sundays, and He wants you to come on Sunday nights. He wants you to come on Wednesdays, but let's get outside of that. He wants you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. No matter where you are on the job, He wants your heart to be fixed on Him, knowing that He's the one that is able to keep you in these last days. Fix your heart on the Lord. So that's, we kind of talked about what the word heart means. If you hadn't got it by now, then I don't know what to do. All right. Let's go to the meaning of the word pure. Now, we would agree that today, when it comes to words such as purity, when it comes to words such as godliness, that there tends to be kind of this, and not here by no means, but just in the church world, when you talk about religious purity and religious godliness, that seems to be kind of people that think that's kind of outdated terminology. They think it's kind of an unattractive commodity that belongs somewhere strange with people in monasteries. I would say unto you, God still wants a pure people. And it comes from a pure heart. Now, interesting here, the word pure, I was doing a little word studying on this, reading behind some different writers. The Greek word translated pure there is very simple. It means to cleanse. In the moral sense, it speaks of being free from the filth of sin. It is a keen word when you look at it in the Latin as well. It means to be chaste. So what it means in Matthew 5:8, it basically means this. Lord, it basically means blessed are those who have a cleansed heart. Doesn't it feel good when your heart's been cleansed? Amen. Purity. Ain't nothing like when you ain't got nothing to hide. All right? Aren't you glad when you can stand before God and, Lord, I've got nothing to hide from you, Lord. I tell you, do this every day of your life. Lord, search me. I've got nothing to hide. My heart is before you, O Lord. Purify my heart. Jeremiah 32:39. God said of Israel, I will give them one heart and a one way that they may fear me forever. Hear God, what this is talking about as well, and I don't want to confuse you here. It's talking about a cleansed heart. But when it's also talking about this one heart and this one way, it talks about a single-minded devotion here. It doesn't mean a double-minded person. It means a person that is single-hearted unto the Lord. That's why the Lord tells us in Matthew 6 about where your treasure is. There your what will be? Your heart will be also. You've got to make sure your treasures, your heart is in the right place. We were talking this weekend. I was talking to some saints there at the youth retreat. And we were talking about this idea that God help us to get our priorities right once again. Man, how many remembers when church was a priority? And I know it is in your lives, but church is a priority. It's one of those things that your life, it wasn't, you know, when I was coming up, even though there was areas our family could grow in, and thank God that we did grow over the years, but even then, even in those years, our lives centered around what God was doing, around His Word, around the church. It wasn't about careers and making money. It wasn't about all, and nothing wrong with careers, nothing wrong with making money. God knows we need those things, but it wasn't about trying to make the next step up the ladder at the expense of your soul. It wasn't about that. Or the expense of your family. But it was about keeping your priorities in place. And what it was, we said, look, God, we realize, and the old timers realize, there's something about having a pure heart and pure motives. And we realized that, look, we needed to be single-minded. Look, I didn't invent the church. Pastor Glenn didn't invent the church. This is God's plan. This is God's design. So we have to understand, when we say make church a priority in your life, I'm not saying you make it a priority in your life because it's something I'm doing. I'm telling you, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even so more as that day is approaching. Why is that? Because this is God's design. He designed the church. He designed the fellowship. He designed the body of Christ. He designed for us to meet together in His name and to come into agreeance and to do all these things. This is God's design. So we tell you to be single-minded. We're telling you to just follow God's design. And I'm a firm believer, when it gets out, when things begin to go south, it usually begins to go south when people begin to withhold themselves from the things of God, and it doesn't become a priority anymore. Right? So God help us to do that. James 4, verses 4 and 8. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, double-mindedness is something that when it comes to spiritual things, is dangerous. You know, here in the world, we often, you know, where you want to eat at? I don't know. This sounds good. And you ever pulled up somewhere and said, there's been a few times we just had to pull over and say, sweetie, where you want to eat at? Think about inventing one of those things like a board game. You have the little thing you pluck and it spin it, and just putting restaurants on it and just giving it a pluck and just going with it. Double-mindedness. And now it's kind of comical in that way. But when you are double-minded to this place, I don't know if I want to go to church or not. I don't know if it's worth, you know, should we give to the kingdom or not? You know, that there's, you know, we need these things, and you know, I don't know. Let's just withhold our money from the, you know, should we really pay? Is that really a principle in the Bible? Should we really give to the things of God? I'll tell you this: you better be careful. Search your heart. Ask God to give you direction. All right, let's get to another point. I don't want to bore you tonight by no means. How can we be pure in heart? Number one, this is to the practical application of these things. You ready for this? Brother Derek, how can I be pure in heart? Number one, admit you can't purify your own heart on your own. There's no amount of good works that you can do to get that heart right. Look, I don't care if you've given thousands of dollars to anything. Even if you were to visit all the hospitals in the world and you were to make sandwiches for people that were in need, if you don't let God purify your heart, you will not be a pure person. Proverbs 20:9, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. You can't do it alone. Jeremiah 13:23, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or can the leopard change his spots? And the answer is no. It's kind of a rhetorical question. Basically what it's saying is no one can purify themselves on their own because no one has the power to do so. When I was counseling there in the Teen Challenge for a short season some years back, I come to this conclusion. You know, you can counsel a sinner your whole life, but unless they get born again, it is a waste of time. Look, I understand there's methods people use in psychology to reform behavior and all these things, but I'm just not one of those guys. I'm too old school for that. Amen. I know what God did for me. I didn't need a program. What I needed was a divine touch from God. I needed that in my life. I needed God to purify me. I needed God to cleanse me. So understand this. You don't have the power to do it yourself. So number one, admit you cannot purify your own heart. Only God can do it. Secondly, I would simply say this. These are simple points. Put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Brother Derek, how powerful is that? Ask the thief on the cross, who was sitting there in a pitiful condition at the end of his life, no money, nothing he could do. As he looks over there at Jesus, puts his faith in the only one that can help him. And there we realize that it ought to make us all happy. I know I've said this before, that most likely right now, there's a thief that's running the streets of gold. Amen. He got more that day than he ever stole. Put your faith in Jesus. Lastly, Brother Derek, if we have a pure heart, is there a way to maintain it? And it's very simple. Yes, there is. How many knows the Word of God has a very purifying effect about it? I don't get far in this book without tears running down my face. And I know that's not just me. But I can read. I was reading through the book of 1 and 2 Samuel here and wept like a baby several times. Man, I felt like I was sitting beside David. And even though I've never been in the same cave he was in, I've sat in some dark and lonely places. Amen. And even though I may have never fought a Goliath like he did a physical Goliath, but I've seen some things come down in my life. What are you saying, Brother Derek? I'm saying the Word of God has a purifying effect. If you stay in that book and stay on your knees, you'll make it to glory. Amen. If you do it with a pure heart. Matter of fact, John 15:3 says, now you are clean through the Word. Lastly, I would say this tonight. What promises are made to those that are pure in heart? You ready? Simple. We already read it. They shall see who? They shall see God. Now, I've read over that so many times. But I took some time today and spent a little more time in this. What does it mean, they shall see God? Kind of seems like a futuristic thing, right? Pure in heart shall see God. Well, I did a little research behind this, and I always believe it's important when we can to look at the context of this. And the Greek text expresses here when it says shall see God, it's a continuous action. It means to gaze upon Him. So even some biblical translators say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall continuously see God for themselves. The verb translated to see indicates an action that the pure heart is made known of the presence of God. So of course we realize that if you're pure in heart, you're going to see Him. But I'll tell you right now, there's some times in life I see God a lot. Maybe not in a physical form. I've seen God in the sunrise. Right? I've seen God looking out the window. How, Brother Derek? His presence is nigh me. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that when your heart is pure, there's a closeness of your Heavenly Father? Oh, isn't that like being in the presence of the Lord? And that's why, brothers and sisters, I know it sounds redundant at times. And I know we say this, but it's so important. Make sure you have a healthy prayer life. And make sure you have healthy times that you spend in the Word. I know that you're busy, and I assure you, that even as a pastor at times, I say, God, don't let me grow cold to this. I get busy as well, and even you're doing school assignments right now, and even being a father of two and one on the way. It's amazing how busy life can get. But when you set your mind upon the Lord, you make sure your heart is pure. Guess what? You feel His presence. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor, Sunday school teacher. All of us as believers can feel His presence. Amen. Philip said unto him in John 14, Lord, show us the Father as it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you? Ye hast not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen who? The Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Brothers and sisters, you have experienced His presence. And when you keep a pure heart, He walks with you all the way to glory. Stand to your feet as my wife comes to the piano, if she would. Amen. God is alive in this world. But when you have a pure heart, you will be aware of it. But I would say on the opposite end of that, if you do not have a pure heart, you will miss out. Your days will become long and lonely. Yes, they will. Your life, I couldn't imagine. I cannot imagine not having the Lord in my life. Boy, it'd be a boring life. They think we live a boring life. I would be so bored if God was not in my life. I would be so bored. I'd be so lonely. There's a void there that no human being can fill. Nobody can do it for you. That's why I want to make sure my heart is pure. Because I want to be in His presence. Amen. So if you want to see God, your heart must be purified. Spurgeon said it just like this. I was reading a little bit behind Spurgeon about these verses. I like what he says. Jesus' teaching was continually aimed at the hearts of men. Other teachers have been content with outward moral reformation, but Jesus sought the source of all evil, that He might cleanse the spring from which all sinful thoughts and words and actions come. He insisted over and over again that until the heart was pure, the life would never be clean. Basically, get your heart right and everything else will be okay in your life. Amen. What I feel to do tonight is just ask you to come pray. Ask God to purify your hearts. Come on, find you a place to pray tonight. God, purify our hearts. For those hearts that are still pure right now, God, touch them, God. Give them the strength to endure, to stand another day, Lord. We want to see you. Oh, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God, help us to stand. Help us to be pure in our motives and our intentions.